Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Vic and Em's Comedy Gems. My name's Vicky Hanlon.
And I'm Emily Tresidder. Vic and Em's Comedy Gems.
Please don't.
Okay. Hello and welcome to another episode of Vic and Em's Comedy Gems. Hello, Vicky Hanlon.
Hello, Emily Tresidder.
It's me, Emily Tresidder.
Yay.
Vicky, this week we have a very exciting guest.
Yes.
You have helped produce a show she is involved in.
Yes.
She's been crushing it all over the country.
Yes.
We have the fantastic yes. Bella Green.
Yay.
Hey,
Bella.
It's me.
It's
Hi.
You.
Oh, I stole Emily's line already. This is going so badly.
It's me, Bella.
Oh, yeah, no, you're out, actually. This episode is cancelled.
Oh, no.
Thank you so much for being on Comedy Gems.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
How's today going for you?
Good. I slept in and I've had like the festival flu.
Hell yeah.
Like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I'm just getting over it. This is like my voice back. So.
I was going to say, you sounded pretty good for festival, for like last week, going into last week of festival.
Thank you. I smoked through the whole thing. That's my secret. Just don't stop smoking.
Yeah, okay.
Just
all right.
Burn all of it all out of your lungs. Yeah, you'll be fine. Yeah.
Didn't you quit?
Yeah, and then festivals happened,
no,
and
that's
I
fair.
Just started again.
Yeah. Yep, I get
it. Just
that.
Happened.
I mean, I can definitely see how it would just
I
happen.
I see how that would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't smoke, but I see how that would happen.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out and about that could help you influence your decision to get to smoking again.
I hadn't smoked for 11 years, like 11. No, sorry. I hadn't smoked for 6 years, and I'd smoked for 11 before that. But like I had not had like a drag in 6 years. So
crazy.
Comedy has a lot to answer for.
Oh yeah. There's so many people that have very similar stories to that. They're like, I'd quit and I hadn't had a drink for this long and now I'm an alcoholic smoker.
Well, I was a lesbian before stand-up comedy.
It's changed a lot for you.
It really has.
So you aren't a lesbian anymore because of comedy. Well, not maybe because of comedy. But really your sexuality has changed?
Yeah. Well, I came out of a long-term relationship last year and then I've kind of just started dating men as well. And yeah, I don't think that says anything about the great standard of men in stand-up comedy.
It definitely
yeah,
doesn't.
I'm confused.
You know, I'm very confused.
I think it's my self-esteem has probably just taken such a knock. Like, I
right.
feel so negged. I'm probably just like open to anyone who's half nice.
Oh, you're not completely shit? I'm into that.
Yeah, like the standard of men is generally so low that I'm like, oh, you said hello to me at an open mic? Oh, maybe
we're
in love.
Let's date forever now. We're going to get married.
Yeah.
You weren't a complete arsehole to me. Hi.
Fuck.
Oh, my God.
That's super interesting, but also like you to you.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely would not date a comedian, but that is just my personal preference.
Yeah. I just won't date anyone.
So
yeah,
Emily's sexual preference is not comedians.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And Vicky's is just nobody.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
We've got very hard lines that we've drawn.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not okay with it, but I'm okay with it most of the time. It's fine.
Yeah, look, I feel like if and when the right person comes around,
we'll
then
figure
maybe
it out.
You'll change your mind.
Sure.
But I shall never change my mind about the
never
no comedian thing.
It's all right. You've got someone, so you don't have to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, babe. I'm not going to have another. It's fine. This is it. This is it for me.
Aw.
Actually, I've already said this on a podcast, so I won't repeat
Aww.
It. But we were at a wedding, and there was like a photo booth, and he held up a sign that said, "Hello, I'm single." And I was like, this is the most uncomfortable way to find out that I'm single. But yeah.
Oh, no. You could have dumped me any other way. Literally any other way.
Yeah.
Billboard.
Yeah.
Or you in private.
Skywriting.
Yeah. Even in private would be fine.
Yeah.
Do you think a breakup would be better in public or private?
Private.
But maybe in public is better because then...
No.
No.
No, I'm not saying like... hello, attention everybody, I'm just about to break up. But I mean, like, maybe
if, like, if you're at dinner in a restaurant.
No. I'm thinking like a park bench.
I've got a bad story for you here.
Yeah, so love perfect.
I'd like to preface this by saying I love my ex very much and we're on very good terms. Sure. And maybe I shouldn't be telling this story. But anyway, at last year's... I love year's,
a preface like that. That's perfect.
At Melbourne Fringe last year, stuff had kind of been going badly. And towards the end of my run, I got nominated for Best Comedy.
Congratulations.
And thank you. Just dropping that in.
Yeah, that was a very good drop.
It's important for the story.
Anyway, so, it has nothing to do with the story. I just...
just wanted to let you all know, award-nominated comedian.
So we go to the closing party and, like, we're trying not to fight like we have been at all times during the week. And we just kind of got into this big teary thing. And it was like, this just isn't working anymore, is it? Aww. And then they were announcing the award I was nominated for. And we're just like... clutching each other and crying, and everyone kind of looks at me because I hadn't won the award.
And they thought, oh,
and it really
shit.
Looked like I was just devastated and crying all over my girlfriend. No. I'm like, but no, it's cool. I'm happy for Bob Franklin. It's fine.
That's crazy.
So Fringe Festival everyone closing party, probably not the best public breakup.
Yeah. No, that's
fair. I couldn't tell you that.
Yeah.
That's a hilarious timing though. Like, you couldn't have timed that anymore.
That's definitely, if that was like written into a movie script, you'd be like, well, that's a bit much. Don't you reckon?
I love when moments in life like emulate art, but to the point where it's like, it's too much. It's over the top. Yeah, 100%.
Well, like an hour after that, I'm already like, how can I work this into comedy?
That's when you know you're made for comedy.
You're a bad person.
Yeah.
Made for comedy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Anything that's shit that happens in your life, this is content. Yeah. I'll be able to write something about this.
The trouble is, I reckon there's more art in trying to make the good things in life comedy. Because no one wants to hear it. So you need to, it's the opposite of sugarcoating. You need to like somehow turn that sugar into a turd so people laugh at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
It's people, beautiful.
Yeah, and comedy does seem to be about how broken things are or you are or whatever it is you're talking about, like how fucked it is and making that funny.
Yeah.
If you can make your really nice life funny.
Yeah.
You know who does that kind of? Nick Cody. Nick Cody does that.
Yeah.
He does.
I actually would consider myself like a female version of Nick Cody, actually.
All right. Fucking hell.
I mean, like, not to toot my own horn, but I'm very good. No, I just mean, I think in terms of like content, especially now that I've moved into not just being like, anyway, so I was on this date and
yeah.
I just licked the microphone. That's how invested into that I was.
I'm going to mark that one. That's Emily's mic.
But yeah, I think because I like that. I like to go see a show that's just like, yep, I got a dog, I got a son, I got a wife. See you later.
Yeah, which is what his show is. Yeah. But it's, and I mean, when you break it down like that, it doesn't sound great. But he's so funny and he makes that so funny.
Yeah, but because I think it's also relatable. Like,
yeah, people have dogs and kids and wives.
Exactly. So it's just not like it's refreshing because it's not like my wife's a whore. Like,
yeah, I feel like I really hope that we've grown out of that comedy.
Have we though?
Yeah, have we?
Yeah, have we?
I'm saying I hope and I really want us to have grown out of that comedy.
You can hope, but it still doesn't make it. I don't think we have. I don't think we have. No, I think it's still like. I think I've seen.
There's no one up that's like Rodney Dangerfielding, like, yeah, take my wife anymore. Like, that's gone.
True.
But like, I think it's more subtle and maybe even more cruel, actually, because it's not as quite in your face.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I feel like I hope I don't see enough, like, if that kind of comedy still exists everywhere, it's just not even in my vision because we're not seeing stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe. That's true. Yeah, John Mulaney has a bit about that. He's like, because he asks his wife permission if he can make fun of her. And she's like, yeah, but as long as you don't call me a bitch. He's like, why would I do that? What kind of show is that?
He's like, that's a very low standard. Anything other than that.
Anything. Like, I can say exactly. Anything other than any my wife word. Is a bitch.
Any other word. Fuckhead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she said. What does he say? That his wife is a bitch and he likes her very much.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's great.
So he does actually call her a bitch even after she said, call me anything but a bitch? That's fucked up. What an a-hole.
John Mulaney's so good.
Yeah, I know. You love him.
I do love him.
I do too.
Him. Yeah, I do froth him.
Loves him. Speaking of people that people bloody love, Bella Green, hello.
Oh, hi.
You've taken your show, Bella Green is charging for it, around Australia.
By around Australia, we can say from Melbourne to Perth and then back to Melbourne.
That is... Across Australia. We've taken it across Australia.
That sounds bigger somehow.
It does. Yeah. I like it.
Let's go with that.
Across Australia. Twice. Very cool.
There and back.
Yeah. That's good. And so you got nominated for Best Comedy at Melbourne Fringe.
Yes. That's when I...
had the cry. And everyone was like, wow, she is a sore loser.
Look, I'm a total princess anyway. I don't think it would be surprising to anybody... if I was crying over not winning it in a party.
I wonder, I mean, I've never been nominated for an award, but I wonder how I would respond to not winning. I'd be devastated probably.
It's not a nice feeling.
Maybe the fact that you had a breakup at the moment that you didn't win actually like shielded the blow for the not winning.
I think maybe. It's almost like the opposite in that I guess we kind of split up. God, this is getting personal. Sorry. Like a lot of comedy. No, it's fine. like a lot of stuff was happening for me at comedy at the time and it happened really quickly. And I was like, I'm the king of the universe. Right. And like my relationship was kind of going bad because I was giving all of my love to comedy instead. Yeah. And at that point, I was kind of like, I'm too powerful for anything, including my relationship. Right, like, world domination is happening instead. And then I did my show the next night and it was terrible. Yeah. And like the party was over, the festival was over, everyone had gone home and I'm just kind of standing outside the courthouse like, okay.
Yeah. When you say the courthouse, there is a pub named the courthouse. You weren't...
wasn't actually arrested for bombing.
Yeah. God, imagine if you could get arrested for bombing like... comedy bombing, because obviously you can get arrested for bombing. You should
and
be
I'm
arrested.
Very happy about
you should
that,
definitely
yes.
be arrested for bombing anything. But
that's
oh
comedy,
boy.
Though.
Like, oh yeah, it's 100% comedy.
One day
swings
you're
around.
Like,
about,
I am
baby.
Literally. I have the biggest dick in this entire world. Yep. Like big dick energy. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend, I've started saying big dick energy in my show, and he's like, "You have to lose that bit. It's not funny. It's not funny." I'm like, "Nah, man, it's fucking funny." He's like, "It's not funny." We've been having this argument for the last 2 days. He's like, "Really, just." Cut the big dick energy thing.
Just sounds like he doesn't really have big dick energy.
Yeah, it sounds like that. Yeah, what about that?
Threatened by your big dick energy.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I think because we both know I have it, I think it's just a bit too alarming when I say it.
Right.
Like it's just too much, you know?
Yeah, I feel like people that really have big dick energy
don't have to say it.
Don't have to say
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And I think we've lived with it for so long that he knows that I've got it.
Yes.
He just doesn't want me to like exclaim it to the world.
Sure.
Anywho, comedy, it's like a roller coaster. It truly is.
Yeah.
Like one night you're like, I'm literally the best at this and everything is amazing and I am number one. And then the next night you're like, why?
I'm going to cry.
Why do I do this?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's not great on the mental health, I don't
no.
think.
I get
I
to
think very healthy.
Yeah, God, comedians and mental health. What a...
I think it's... definitely not very healthy because it's hard to deal with that because it is ups and downs. But I also think that like you can monitor it.
Yes.
Or definitely. At least like make sure that you know that if a blow is coming, like this festival, I've only cried twice.
That's pretty good.
And the first time took many and like I had to do another show after the breakdown. So I could only cry for about 25 to 30 minutes.
Sure.
And then I had to get up on stage and do my show again. Literally the same night.
No.
And so, but then that show went really well. So then I didn't cry again.
Oh, right? I remember the text messages you sent me during that one.
Yeah. So that's one.
That's right.
And then the second time was last night and I cried for no shit, 5 minutes, done.
I think sometimes it's just cathartic.
Yeah.
You just
less than
it.
10, baby. Less than 10.
High five.
Well done.
Yes.
We're actually high-fiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you just need sometimes to ride the wave and also to just cushion the blows. Just know that tomorrow is a new day.
Mm.
Well, I heard
easier
a very,
said than done, but.
I heard a very well-adjusted comedian say that he doesn't take good reviews on board too much because it means he doesn't take on bad reviews too much.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, it'd be nice to have parents who loved you. Like, imagine being able to validate yourself internally and like not rely on what other people think about your comedy.
The other thing you have to keep in mind with reviews is one person and also there's however many other people in that room. So like regardless of the review, there's – however many other people that will tell you otherwise or have a very different opinion because it's one
And person. Also, maybe that reviewer saw you on an off night or maybe they saw you on your best night ever. Like, it's not – you can't judge your entire run by one review that said – 5 stars, you're amazing because they saw the best show. Or 2 stars, what the fuck was this?
Yeah, because they saw worst
show.
Or they might just not like your flavor.
Also that.
Like there, you could do your best show and still get 2 stars because they might not like your flavor. That's possible too.
I literally saw a review this year. Was it an actual reviewer or was it a funny tonner? I can't remember. But you know what I mean. Is it like an actual writer or was it just a person? But it was basically like... I'd never seen this comedian before. Everyone else has been giving him 5 stars. It's apparently an amazing show. I hated every second of it. Like, ouch. They just didn't like it. And they gave it 2 stars. And every single other review I've seen for this person has got 4 or 5 stars. He may have even been nominated for an award today. I can't remember. I think he might have been. Like, so it's obviously a very good show that's... seems to be almost universally liked, this show. And this one reviewer went, not for me, 2 stars. And you're like, look past that and look at try and look objectively at that comedy. And if every single other person in that room is enjoying it, maybe you're wrong. Maybe.
Or you could just aim for complete perfection all the time and be endlessly disappointed when anybody doesn't like it.
Or you could try that, yeah.
Just beat yourself up perpetually.
Yeah, see how that one went.
93 people really liked it.
But that one guy in the front row had his arms crossed. Maybe he hated it.
I could do better.
I think you can always do better.
Well, yeah, of course you can. You should, you don't become complacent. Like, there's a difference between being happy with what you've done.
But also...
and also being like, I want to get better.
Yeah.
You should, don't think that you've topped out.
It's also the human condition, though, and I think it's really sad because, If you say to yourself, all right, my ambition is to be in a 500-seater and sell it out.
Sure.
Then you are in a 500-seater and you're selling it out. And you're like, all right, well, now my ambition is to be on the cover of a magazine and sell out 1,000 seats. Then you're on the cover of a magazine and you're selling out 1,000 seats. You're like, all right, now my ambition... like, it never stops.
Like, when does that stop?
Never ends.
Because I'm pretty sure that someone like Amy Schumer, who is selling out stadiums, probably has some ambition that she's working towards that she'll meet... and then she'll make a new one.
Yeah. It never ends. That's the human condition. But also, the thing with someone like Amy Schumer is she's huge.
Yes.
But she has so many haters.
Oh, yeah. The more people that love you, there's even more that hate you.
And I really just don't know if, my being is strong enough to handle that.
You just said you had big dick energy.
Yeah, I do have
not
big
that
dick
big.
Energy. But I don't necessarily think that big dick energy means that you're okay with everyone telling you you're a piece of shit.
I mean, I think you'd have to be some sort of sociopath to not have that affect you in any way at all.
Yeah, exactly. So
what do you reckon?
Oh, look, I love the idea of being successful enough that you can be like, I don't read the comments. I don't read reviews. Yeah. I don't take anything on board except I have people that delete those comments for me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's true. She probably doesn't even read them anymore.
Probably at a point, I think, where none of it gets back. I don't know. Maybe she is reading her own comments and crying and we have no idea.
That would make me sad because that would mean that that's what happens to everyone. Everyone does that. Because if she's reading them, everyone's reading them.
I do think in terms of always aiming for something bigger and better, when I saw my mock-up of my listing of my show in the Melbourne Fringe Guide for my first thing ever, that's the happiest I've been, I think, since just that first thing of being like, oh my God, I'm doing this show I've always wanted to do and I can see what it's going to look like in a printed guide in a few months' time.
Yeah.
Nothing has felt that, after that, it's true. Oh, well, I've got to do this if I do this festival, if I sell these tickets.
I think, the first time I ever saw a show that I was doing in the Melbourne Comedy Festival Guide, I was so excited because, I'd been going to the comedy festival since I was, 13 or 14 or something like that. And then, 15 to 20 years later, I'm in that guide and I'm like, oh, my God, this is it. This is my moment. And the shows were fine. The shows weren't great. It was just my football podcast did a couple of live shows for that. But it was... I was in the guide that I was like, I used to go down and buy the Age when it was back in the Age and buy this and it was my Bible for the, a month of the every year when I was a kid and stuff. And, so I get that. But then you move on, I guess.
Well, yeah, then it's not as exciting because you've had that experience. Yeah. So then seeing, like, this year when you got the guide, you would have been like, cool.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Cool, let me see, like, what I want to see.
Yeah, that's exactly. I was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's, yeah, the shimmer wears off.
Yeah, but I think this is something that you've told me to do, Emily.
Sure.
And something that my psych has told me to do.
Wow. Sounds like I know what I'm talking about.
Strap is in.
That you have to actually celebrate your achievements.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't do that. So I tend to be like, cool, that's just a thing I've done. And now we move on. And then we did another thing. Yep, cool. And I've been told that I have to stop and actually take.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Like, note of the things that I have achieved and actually celebrate them and be like, you did a really good thing.
Yeah.
Let's have a vodka.
I am both with your psych and Emily on this. I think you should definitely do that. That sounds very healthy.
Yeah. Maybe not the vodka part, but like the, yeah. So I don't know. But you helped me do that a little bit, Em.
Yeah. I celebrate every day as a victory.
She does it, yeah.
I came in here today. I was like, listen, guys, I've woken up. Let's have a vodka.
Like when we did a radio show and stuff, I was like, yeah, that's really cool. We've got that. I'm very happy about it. And now the next thing. And you're like, no, wait. We have to celebrate the fact that we got a radio show.
Yeah, we need to go get a bloody glass of champagne.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Let's learn how to do that.
And they're like, ladies, could you please stop drinking on air? It's becoming a problem.
You're not allowed liquids in the studio.
Yeah. There's broadcasting rules. You can't, like, be okay with alcohol. Fuck.
Fuck.
Oh, well.
Podcasting, it's such a weird, such a different world.
We can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
For totally. Now, until they regulate it. I'm sure they will one day, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
We'll probably be so big by then, we won't even be reading the fucking comments. Yeah. We don't give a shit about your regulation bullshit.
Unless somehow take us off iTunes and then I do.
Yeah, right.
Ooh. They'll go digging through for the receipts and listen to your old episodes and trench them up and present them
Please
to Twitter.
Don't listen to episode whatever the fuck this is, because I don't know the order that we're putting things in.
But on the subject of your show, because you did do really well at Melbourne Fringe, and then you've taken it to Perth, and now you have taken it back to Comedy Festival. How have the shows been going? For anyone that doesn't know who you are and what the show is, what would be like a quick synopsis?
Cool. So Bella Green Is Charging For It is basically everything you wanted to know about working in the sex industry, but were too afraid to ask. So I've kind of written stand-up and sketches based on my work in like brothels and strip clubs and dungeons and peep shows.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. And have you found that there's been any particular like audience, I guess not interaction, but like audience reaction that has been like of note or...
I'm guessing like, you get a lot of like sex workers coming to watch the show to be like... It's the same way that like teachers would go to Ben Knight's show because he did a whole show about teaching.
Yeah.
And it's just all teachers. I'm guessing it's the same sort of thing.
Yeah, I reckon a third of my audience is sex workers and like that's the best.
Because people want to see themselves represented on stage.
Yes.
That's what they want to see.
It's great. You can see they are like thirsty for hearing content.
Sure.
It's so good. I reckon I wrote this for sex workers and if anyone else likes it, fucking awesome.
That's an added
like
bonus.
It's like a celebration, I guess, for you all as a like
community.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love as well that like when, you know, we call them muggles. When muggles come to the show.
That's what some comedians call like
non-comedians.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I guess you had it first, probably.
Everything comes from sex workers, doesn't it? We
pretty much.
We steal everything from you guys.
It's because we're cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I find like muggles that come are sort of like shocked by how many people are laughing at the jokes that are obviously in jokes. And
yeah,
it's like
right.
People don't realize that sex workers are everywhere.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are like, oh, I know Bella. That's the only sex worker I've ever met. Mm. It's like,
nah,
it's just
probably
so stigmatized that you
probably don't know
the other 10 people in your life that
have
do it
done
just
that,
don't, you know, talk about it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is interesting. I've never thought about that. That's probably true. Yeah. I probably do know more people
probably
than I think.
We're everywhere. We're watching. We're listening. Don't say anything probo.
Always watching. I love it.
But that is a really cool, I guess, I don't want to say cool conceptually because like it's more than that, but I think that like it's definitely an awesome thing to be presenting on a stage, especially to people that don't have a full or even semi understanding of the industry. So like, yeah, I feel like that is such a different thing to just a straight stand-up show. So have you found that it's been hard to create it with not just like just a stand-up show but also doing sketches and stuff as well?
I think the opposite. Like, I haven't been doing stand-up for very long. I would never think that I could do an hour of stand-up at this stage. Like, I don't know if I can do 15 minutes. I can do 15 minutes. I can't do 20. but like, yeah, I do sketch. I write sketch for the Improv Conspiracies House sketch team as well. So that's a little bit easier for me, I think. And I know when I go and see a show that's not straight stand-up and it's a bit ambiguous as to what it is, I get so friggin' bored if it's just kind of storytelling the whole time without anything
to
keep my attention. So I wanted to do something that wasn't just...
You wanted to write a show for you as well.
Yeah.
A show that you would be able to see.
I'm like, costume changes, props. Like, I just threw as much glittery stuff in as I wanted. I'm like, I want this to look interesting.
Yeah, I get that.
I want to incorporate a costume change. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds fun, yes.
Because during your costume changes, you had like text messages from, was it clients?
Yeah,
up on the screen?
I project text messages that people have sent to my work phone, which are amazing. Like, there's a whole runner of a guy that tried to negotiate. How PG is this?
Oh, you can say whatever you want.
So this guy tried to negotiate an anal quickie. His words, not mine.
Wow.
And it's like, hey, babe, how about an anal quickie, $120? And I'm like... At first, I'm kind of like, this is never going to happen. Yeah. I am never doing an anal quickie. And the text messages kind of descend into me being, 150? So I project stuff like that on the screen. So yeah, I used a projector as well. I'm like, how many bells and whistles? Use a projector. Yeah. People said this to me beforehand and I was like, no, I just want to show some photos and some stuff.
Nah, it's a nightmare.
And it's been absolute hell.
Yep.
There you go. Well, do you think you'll do this show anywhere else or are you going
to? Yeah, I'd love to. I want to go do Fringe at the Edge of the World in Tassie. Like, I think that would be really fun.
Definitely, yeah.
I'd love to do Perth again just because I had such a good time there.
Yep, with the same show you want to do.
I don't know. That's when it starts getting like, what am I going to do
next?
How
many years can I do this in a row?
I don't know. But yeah. Adelaide would be fun as well because I haven't been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adelaide Fringe can be fun. Yeah. I like it sometimes.
Sure.
Sometimes
I like it. Yeah.
I haven't been to Adelaide in like 3 years.
Yeah, I didn't go this year, but I've been for like the last few years before that.
Well, I think the vibe of the festival is awesome. But
well, the whole city lives up.
Yeah.
Livens up for it because it's like there's nothing to do in Adelaide for the rest of the year. And then for 1 month, 1.5 months, there's just everything's on. So it's the Fringe, it's the cars, it's fucking everything. There's just every single event at once. And then for 11 months of the year, nothing.
I feel like Perth's not too different as well. It's
kind of evolved into a thing where
nothing happens any other time, but there's a festival on.
Yeah, which is why you would think that you should be able to sell tickets really easily because you're like, come to something, anything. And Perth used to be really froth for any entertainment. But the last couple of years, it's kind of burst a little bit and they're kind of over it. Well, but maybe
bubbles
it'll be
burst.
Better. Exactly. But then they sometimes get blown up again.
My mom came to my show in Perth.
How
that's
was that?
Cool.
That was a bit freaky and weird.
Yeah?
Yeah, because my show is so explicit. And she was like, I'm bringing Bruce. And I'm like, Bruce is your 73-year-old boyfriend. Bruce does not need to see my show about getting paid for sex.
Oh, no.
And she's like, Bruce was a bookie back in the 70s. Bruce was a bookie. He'll be fine. I'm like, can you explain what a brown shower is to Bruce? If he understands that, you can bring him to the show. She's like, he was a bookie in the 70s. I'm like, I don't think you understand what this.
How did they take it?
Yeah, my mom's a loose unit, so she was fine.
So she was fine.
On the way out, though, Bruce patted me on the shoulder and said, "Well done, mate," while making no eye contact, like looking directly over my shoulder, like he could not meet my eye.
Oh boy!
But then I went there for dinner like a week later, and they wanted to discuss like I don't know some other street busking they'd seen at the festival, and I'm like, "Great, you've forgotten about my show already."
Yeah.
which is probably we'll just not.
Or talk
yeah,
about
or they
it.
Yeah, or Bruce was just like, I can't talk to her about the show and look in her eyes. I absolutely cannot.
Oh yeah, your girlfriend's daughter. Yeah, I wouldn't want to.
Ticket sales, a ticket sale. Hey,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I
yeah. Don't give, hey, yeah. If they're paying, that's fine.
Pay.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think they got money.
Yeah,
pay.
But also, like, I think that sometimes, like, I'm, you know, sometimes guilty of having a friend that's doing a show. So I'm like, hey, like, if it's not during a festival, I'm like, yeah. Hey, like, I'm gonna come to your show on Saturday. Do you think it'll be sweet if I can just
yeah? But
come?
You're not like a baby boomer that probably has money.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
comps are for your poor friends.
Yeah. Yeah, comps are for your poor friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think with like anyone that's like your family or like you in some way. Yeah,
me.
Exactly. It doesn't actually help me for you to be at the show if you're not putting the money in the, you yep. know.
Yeah, contractually obliged as family yeah. to come and pay for it.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Also, there's something really ironic about when I do comps for my show because it's called Bellagreen's charging for it.
Sorry, we don't do comps.
Can we get a freebie? I'm like,
No, I'm charging for it.
Did you read the title?
Yeah. You should have charged reviewers. Sorry, guys. You have to come in. If you want to come
I feel
and
like reviewers should pay.
To do their job?
Yes.
You reckon?
Because
well,
I'm doing
maybe,
my job.
Maybe the publication should pay for
yeah,
them to go.
No, yeah, okay. Not their out of their personal money. But yeah. I reckon, yeah, reviewers, the company that is giving the like reviews.
Well, maybe that would have them actually write the reviews because there were several reviewers that came to see the Breast of the Fest. Who we just never got a review from. Junkie. Wow.
Yeah, junkie. Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Rude. That whatever. Happened to me last year. I had a couple of
well,
reviewers
there was actually,
come and didn't.
Yeah, so say I had, there was maybe seven reviewers who had free comps to see Breast of the Fest. And I think we ended up with three reviews.
Did they at least cancel?
No, they all came.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, and they just didn't write anything. Which is, I know that happens quite a lot, but it's still very frustrating.
Yeah, I don't care for that.
Yeah, it's very shit.
I don't care for that either.
Mm-hmm.
What I do care for
yes.
is you, Bellagreen.
Aww.
Thanks for being on the pod.
Thank you so much.
It is, we have a section of the show that we like to call Hypothetically Yes, where I ask you a hypothetical question based on our chats today. Are you ready?
Yes. Hypothetically.
Hey, there we go. All right, so would you rather...
Mm-hmm.
A projector in every single one of your shows.
Oh, no.
Or, like, for the rest of your career. Or Bruce is at every single one of your shows.
Oh, wow. I'll take the projector, thanks, Emily.
Oh, no.
I'll put $100 on the projector. Thank you so much.
Wait, hold on. Is Bruce paying for his ticket or do I have to comp him?
Yeah, okay. Follow-up questions are good. No, he's being comped in.
No, I'll go with the projector. Like, no shade to Bruce if he's listening while doing the gardening or something.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's
I don't think they are, thank God. Yeah, no, projector. I love the projector, I've got to say. Like, as much as it's just been an absolute nightmare yeah. of tech problems
yeah,
and paying
I was
for them
so
and
much tech problems.
Moving them. Like, I really love all the projected bits in my show. I would have axed them already if I hadn't. But, like,
yeah.
I do school photos at the start, which I think are just heaps of fun. And I filmed a sketch and I project it during, like, yeah.
That's
someone
cool.
said to me, get a TV. Like, apparently it's actually cheaper and easier to get a big screen TV.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they're that expensive anymore.
We had in my venue, in the Cooper's Inn this year, we had a projector in one room and then TVs in the other two rooms, and the TVs work way better.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
Sorry, Bruce, it's the projector.
That's interesting because you seem to really not want the projector. But now you're like, whoop, given the opportunity.
Yeah,
I guess
fair.
The thing is, that's a good medium for what you want to do. But I guess if you could figure out a TV, that would be good too. But
it'd be fine if they just there were tech problems didn't exist. If tech problems didn't exist, do
projectors
whatever.
Would be fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I would also say, like, if you're going to do your first show, probably like keep it simple. Like, I would, because also producing previous guest Catherine Allen's first solo show that she did at Fringe. So many props, so many like costume changes, all that sort of stuff that she wrote. And it was a brilliant show. But she was like, fuck, next time I'm just going to stand on stage and talk. I'm like, yeah.
My
maybe.
Shows have got progressively less involved.
Yeah.
Like when I first started,
better
I had
quality
like a
talking though.
Yeah, I had like an easel with like a big picture book that I'd had illustrated
yeah.
And like had written. And that was like the prop. And then the next show I had like – a whole clothesline that I hung up every day and had like, it just like
that was annoying. Shit.
Yeah, that was super annoying.
Like, did you get more confident though in just the goodness of your words?
Yeah, yes. I think
that's
definitely,
why this
yeah.
year I'm just like, fuck it. I have my mic and my mic stand.
Yeah.
And just a couple of.
I just, yeah. I mean, I know you said before that that is what you don't like in a show, Bella, where you like just seeing a person stand in front of a microphone and talk. But oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah. Being I think for stand up, it's yeah, fine. Yeah. I think it's when it gets storytelling more sure. that I want to see
something else.
More stuffsy stuffs. I think if you've got the ability to do an hour of great stand up, it yeah. doesn't need
to
be.
If you can
else.
Keep my attention.
Yes.
And tell amazing jokes for 50 minutes to an hour and I don't get bored and look at my watch while you're doing that. Oh, you are very talented.
Yeah. Solid effort.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool. We have one final question, Bella. Same Ooh. Question that we ask of all the guests. What are your thoughts on Spider-Man?
I haven't seen or read it. Am I? No.
Sorry. I love it.
That's my favorite answer we've ever had answer. To that question.
No.
I'm sorry. No. Love that. No, that's so good.
No.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Bella.
Thanks for having me.
Thank Yay. You so much.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.